Hello, and welcome to Stepping Into Truth, the podcast where we take on the issues of race, gender, and social justice. I'm your host, Omkari Williams, and I'm very glad you're here with me today. I love doing this podcast. I'm privileged to speak with people who are out in the world making a difference with their programs, their art, and their activism. If you would like to support me in doing this work, you can do so for as little as $3 a month by becoming a member of my Patreon community. You can go to patreon.com/OmkariWilliams and sign up. And there's also a link on my website, OmkariWilliams.com. As we continue to grapple with how to live during this time of pandemic, it's really important to pay attention to where we are seeing cracks in the system, who's filling those cracks, and how they're doing it. And one of the big challenges that we're navigating right now is the hit that our education systems and programs that support children and young adults are taking. My guest today is someone who works with an organization that I think should be in every community in this country and beyond. Kim Sykes is a writer, actress, and artistic director of Girl Be Heard, a nonprofit organization that builds leaders, changemakers, and activists who write and perform their own stories about social justice issues. Kim has written 3 full-length plays, published several short stories for Akashic Books' Noir series, and is an actress who's been seen on Homeland, Sneaky Pete, and The Affair. Her short story, Arrivederci Aldo, was selected for the Best African-American Fiction of 2010 by Nikki Giovanni. And I am so happy to welcome Kim to the podcast. Hey, Kim.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Good. I want to start, I'm just going to jump in because that's what I do all the time. But I want to start with having you tell us about Girl Be Heard and what the overall mission of that organization is.
Girl Be Heard builds leaders and change makers and activists. And we do this by developing and amplifying and celebrating the voices of girls and young women through socially conscious theater making, storytelling, and performance. That's pretty much our mission.
And how did this all even come about?
It was founded by 2 really terrific ladies, Ashley Marinaccio and Jessica Greer Morris. And they began with an organization called Project Girl about 10 years ago. And they started out with young women from Pace University and various backstage ads looking for young women who wanted to talk about social justice. They did that for about 5 years. And then sometime after that, they created or applied for a 501c3 and created Girl Be Heard, which is open to girls all over New York in all 5 boroughs and actually even the state of New York. And we work with girls 12 to 21 years old. We have after school programs, 10 of them currently, 11, pardon me, in all the boroughs. And we have Sunday workshops, which are open to girls all over New York State. And that's meeting every Sunday for 3 hours. We call that Feminist Church.
I love that.
And we also have our active performers, our company members, who are performers who do their work that they've perfected and worked on around social justice issues, ranging from spoken word poetry to short plays to monologues to even, and all that stuff, including dance and music. We do that for various organizations like the United Nations and other NGOs, Planned Parenthood, Bill Abzug Leadership Organizations, and all the organizations that belong to the Downtown Brooklyn Arts Association. And so we are constantly on the go. We've performed at the White House, the Obama White House. Let me be clear on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the United Nations, at women's marches. So we're always out there changing the world through art and through the voices of young women and girls.
That just sounds so amazing. And it literally gave me chills because I just think how cool would it have been to have that around when I was 12 to 21. And
girl, don't you know?
Right? Just like so.
Yeah.
To be able to teach young women to stand in their power from such a young age is just amazing. I'm so happy that you're doing this work.
Thank you. I mean, you know, I'm so glad you said that, because I think we grew up in a time where we were told that all girls really are, and they're still today being told, you know, not to speak up, not to keep quiet, be in their place. And people don't necessarily listen to young women and girls. They assume they don't know or don't think about these things. But one of the most fascinating things that I think I've even discovered, even though I was one of those girls when I was younger, is that they think seriously about these issues. They see what's going on in the world. And they're not yet in that place where they have anything to lose, to say what it is that they feel needs to change. And to point out the things that are wrong. A girl will tell you that in a second.
I think that's such an important way of thinking about it, is that that is a time in our lives when we really don't have anything to lose. We're creating our adult identities. We're finding our own voice. And everything seems possible in ways that, as you get older and things are on the line, you start weighing the pros and cons. When right. you're in that age range, there are no cons that you can imagine. You know, it feels like, no, everything's cool. I'm just going to say what I think.
Exactly. And, I mean, imagine. So you have no rent to pay, you have no credit card bills. You only have to wake up and go to school and come home. I mean, truly, I'm sure it's far more complicated than that. But you, I think we're saying the same thing. And so you're able to then see the world in a way that all of us old people can't see it, because we see it all and we think, oh, well, I can't do that because I, whatever. And I want to do that, but I have to do something else. And kids are just like, no, change this now.
Exactly. I think that that's a really important framing and a really important thing to remember, because maybe it will inspire us old people to let go of some of that caution that life tends to beat into us and just take healthier risks than we might otherwise be taking. So in that same vein, something that I really appreciate about the work that Girl Be Heard does is that it works with story. And I believe that story is foundational to activism. I think that our stories are actually what lead us to activism. Mm-hmm. And you all have a very strong focus on storytelling. And I'd love to hear you speak about why storytelling is such a critical part of the work that you do with the young people you're working with.
Well, you know, since the beginning of time, it's stories that has taken us from the cave into civilization. You know, art, I always say it, will change the world, and it has. I mean, we are where we are because of art. You know, I often say to my girls, imagine in the very beginning, they're all sitting around the campfire, they've eaten a dinosaur, they're stuffed, and they're bored out of their minds. Just some kid gets up and starts drawing on the wall, another kid starts dancing, another kid starts saying gibberish, and theater is born. And so I like to think that today, it's the same thing, only we've come a little farther. And now, you know, we're so used to having art done for us, either by corporations or industry who decide, you know, the parameters of art, how far it can go, what we should wear, what should we look like. And to me, that's ruined a lot of artistic expression. And then you have artists out there who are saying, no, those boundaries don't work for me. I'm going to now stretch that and go back to what art needs to be, which is an expression of who you are, how you see the world, finding beauty in the world and showing it. And when we do that, we discover the most amazing thing. And we discover that we're all the same, that we all like a lot of the same things, that we find beauty in simple things and in the world and in each other. So yeah, that's how we approach art and storytelling at Girl Be Heard. It's your story and it's everyone's story. It's a global story. We're not different. We're all global citizens and we all have this thing to share, and we have to respect each other's stories and find out about each other's stories, because it's what's going to help us survive.
It's interesting that you say all of that, because I remember from a very young age thinking that there were probably, I just arbitrarily picked the number 7 stories in the world, and that all we were doing was putting our particular spin on each of those overarching stories, and that those things were just part of our human experience. And then we had our variations in how we experienced a specific thing. Mm-hmm. And I still fundamentally believe that there are just these human experiences that we all have, that we all live through. And it's when we sit down and start talking about how one thing or another has impacted us that we connect to someone else, because their life is in some ways not going to be that different.
Right. So it's why I love Hamilton so much, you know, the wonderful song that he has in there that I particularly like about telling our story. You know, mm-hmm. I tell you, the brilliance of it is that he writes about Hamilton, but he's really writing about young people and the importance of telling your story and taking your shot. And, you know, all those wonderful songs that tell that story of the story about mm-hmm. how important that is to all of us. And so, yeah, I think that absolutely speaks to the times and the importance of art for young folks.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I'm so glad that you all are doing that. And you know, in that same vein, one of the things that I think story and sharing stories starts to develop in us is a faculty that I think there's not enough emphasis on in our educational system, and that is critical thinking.
Oh my God. God, so true.
And I really appreciate that that's actually something that your curriculum spotlights. It's teaching these young women and girls to become critical thinkers.
Absolutely.
And that I'm curious, as I know why I would put so much energy on that, but I'm curious as to why Girl Be Heard puts so much energy and attention on that skill.
On critical thinking? Oh my God.
Yes.
Because it's how you should think, you know, I mean, it's how you should approach life. You have to critically look at things and decide, is it right for you? I think we have a world, we've come out of decades of people being told, or boxes that we're being fit into. And that's not the way, to me, to be a creative soul, a person who actually can care about the world and try to fix it. You know, you have to think critically about everything. For instance, our theme this year is going to be justice, right? And so I kept thinking, as always, every year when we pick a theme, how do you make that interesting to a young person? Justice, you know? And how do you make it so it's not like they're going to school? Because they go to school. We're an after-school program, or a program where girls come to do something different, you know, fun, artistic, and yet still touch on those things that are important to them and to the world. So I found the statue of justice, and we've all seen it in front of courthouses and everywhere. She's got the scales, she's standing there with, you know, one foot's on a book and the other foot's solid. But then we start to dissect it. We look at who she is, how old she is, what is she holding in her hand, what, you know, the scale, what does it mean then? What does it mean now? And what's so fascinating to me is that she's stepping on the neck of a snake, which represents truth and lies. And so now the question becomes, because one of them said, well, who's telling the truth and who's telling the lies? Is it the government or the police or the person whose neck's being stepped on? I said, well, let's ask George Floyd. Mm-hmm. Let's ask, you know. So we go through these things where we critically dissect these images that are representative of what the world should be, when in fact we know what the world is. And so that's, you know, if you're going to go through the world, especially in America, where we have such ideals, right? The Constitution and the songs and who we are, the greatest country in the world. Well, let's look at that.
Right.
And that's important if you're going to want to change it. or you can just believe the lies and sit back and, you know, yourself to death.
But, you know, the thing is, Kim, in school, kids are not actually encouraged to think critically. They're encouraged to learn the curriculum, spit it back on a test, mm-hmm. and then go on, you know, just like keep moving.
If you're a business that depended on that, would you really want critical thinkers in your workplace? You know, that's the thing. Critical thinkers make unions. Critical thinkers tell your boss that there are better ways to do something and let me show you how. It's not a bad thing to think critically, but it's gotten a bad rep, and we need to change that.
I completely agree. I just always find myself at this point of, I confess, I get a little bit into a desperate state around that because I feel like you can't send kids to school for so many years with so little emphasis on really important skills and actually expect them to come out and shift things, which is why Girl Be Heard is so important, is mm-hmm. it is a counterbalance to just basically going along to get along. So,
come on, don't you remember? I mean, I'm just remembering, and this is how old we are. I'll speak for myself. I am. So in elementary school, you studied music. You got an instrument, right? Whether you could afford it or not. What do you want to play? Violin, piano? I can't remember the other one. Maybe it was guitar, but the flute.
Flute. It was flute.
So you got to choose one of those, you know? And if you didn't want one of those, you can go into voice. So that's what you got in elementary school. And why is music important to education? Because music is mathematics. It all works together. And it's for the soul. It makes you open to the world in so many different ways. Then you go to high school. And then in high school, they always had a drama class. And, you know, they had a dance class in gym, not just running around the track. And for me, half the day I could audition and choose to go to a high school of performing arts, which was open to kids from all over the state. Poor kids, rich kids, white kids, black kids, every kind of kid. And so that disappeared sometime in the 70s.
Yeah.
And it became all about tests and passing the tests. And wow. And the tests were problematic because the tests were all geared to these kids there's 10 kids who could pass that test. The rest of them were struggling with tutors and people who could help them. And I mean, it's insanity.
It is.
Whoever designed that. You know, and I keep going back to the Reagan administration when they made ketchup a vegetable in high schools. That infuriated me. I still think about that today. Ketchup a vegetable. It was just like, oh no, you know what? You people are nuts.
Plus, it's just wrong because tomatoes are actually a fruit, but there's that.
It says a lot, doesn't it? Intelligence of the people who came up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something I remember from when I was in that 12 to 21 age range is how much pressure there was to conform. Mm. And, you know, that pressure was largely in school. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then you'd leave school. And then if you were lucky, you had friends who actually were at least conforming in a different way. So you got some variety in your conforming.
Right.
I'm curious about whether this program, because it's on the one hand, definitely building community, but it feels like it actually really encourages the girls in the program to not only maintain, but to develop their individual creative and social identities.
Absolutely. I'll give an example of one of our participants. I won't name her, but she came in and she is an actress, young woman, very talented. And a big part of our program is that, you know, you go through these fact sheets and we look at what we want to talk about and then you write something about it and then you perform it. Well, she kept saying, I'm not a writer. I'm a singer and I'm an actor. And so someone else can write and then I'll just do whatever they want me to. So after about 2 years of the program, she's one of my most prolific writers. She has on her own has gone to and created Black Lives Matter events in her hometown. She has written so many pieces, including songs around social justice issues, which are beautiful songs. I mean, you know, think about the civil rights and all those great songs back then. They're gorgeous. She has created a song that will probably end up being, you know, one of the great civil rights songs of the, you know, early 2000s. But it's that kind of thing, you know, they first of all find out that someone wants to know what they think, which is huge. I've seen it a million times. You think, what? You really want to know what I think about climate change? And then they get to express it in an artistic way. And then they get to perform it in an artistic way, in the way in which they choose to perform it. And so, yeah, it's a powerful, powerful thing. What was your question now? I forgot, since I started.
No. What I was asking was about how you're building community, but at the same time, they're encouraged to maintain their individual identity and really develop that.
Well, yeah, I was going to say they are encouraged, yes, but that's not a big part of our time, because frankly, once they start talking about what they care about, we don't have to do anything. They're the ones that say, you know what, I'm going to write to my congressman. I'm going to call the senator. Who can I work with? What can I do? And so just knowing about it and knowing these things are out there, they jump on them. Now, we definitely send out things that say, look, there's a women's march. You want to do that? You want to perform at that? And you want to go? And we have takers, definitely. But, you know, we can't forget ever that we are mostly an after-school program, secondary to school. And so these days, kids have so much on their plates. You know, they have the school and they have the clubs and other after-school programs. They are busy. These kids are busy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I actually often think they're too busy. But
yeah, I do, too. I think they need to just go outside and play sometimes.
Yeah, it's just go be, you know, just go sit on a park bench with your friends and talk for 3 hours. You know.
They can't do that now, unfortunately.
No.
Although Zoom, for young girls, Zoom is not bad because, you know, when you're young girls, you like to get together and laugh and giggle and whatever. And that's kind of working out a little bit. But
yeah, yeah. It'll be nice one of these days to get back to being able to actually hang out with people face to face someday.
You know, when that happens, we're all going to like walk out on the street and start hugging strangers.
Completely.
The best thing in the world.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Completely true. And no one's going to be thinking that that's weird. Everyone's going to be like, woohoo, this is fabulous, you know? Yeah. Okay. So you've taken this program to other countries. And I'm curious as what it's like when you take your programs and these people, these young women and girls from New York mm-hmm. to countries that they probably would never, ever, ever get to go to otherwise. What's that experience like?
Well, I actually don't have that experience. I've been at Girl Be Heard now 4 years. And when I came, the international stuff had sort of come to a standstill because of funding, and the organization was moving into a different direction at that point.
Okay.
So we haven't done any international travel since I've been there. Prior to me, though, they've gone to Geneva, to France, to various places, of which I can't remember all of them now, a few, and performed. So I don't know, and Trinidad. But right now we do national performances. And so we've been to Washington, D.C. We've been to, actually, Toronto we went to. So that was some international travel. And states, our sister states, Connecticut and Jersey. So we've done that. I will say this, so many of our girls are from various parts of the world. We have a young girl from Burkina Faso, Ghana, Trinidad, Europe. In Europe, we have a girl from London. I mean, we have all over. So, and they're all immigrants in the Bronx and Queens and Brooklyn. So that experience is quite interesting. And that's when you realize, again, that we all have the same concerns. Of course, there's cultural differences, but pretty much is basically the same.
I hadn't even thought about that, honestly, that of course you would have girls from different countries because people do emigrate here. Mm-hmm. And that must be so interesting because of those cultural differences and assumptions that people have in different societies about how things work and the role of girls in particular. And I'm guessing that some of those girls grew up in societies where their roles were even more prescribed than they are here, and that just being here and having an opportunity to kind of break out must be really amazing to see.
Well, you know, I love that you use the word breakout, because that's exactly what happens. You know, they get into the room, and these are all girls who are first and second generation, you know. So you'll have the parent who's still very much entrenched in those cultural issues that they've come from, and still trying to bring those cultural things into America, where the kid is in school and breaking out, as you say. And so what's interesting is that when they get into the room, and you see this happening, they get into the room and they just look at each other and they form these cabals. And they become the best of friends. Suddenly all the other stuff falls away and they become very loyal to each other. They talk to each other. They don't care about differences in the way we do, the older folks do, or their parents do. And so I've seen it create problems at home, where a girl will go home and, you know, talk about what she's doing, a girl be heard, and the parent will be, you know, asking them, if this is what you really want, you should be a doctor. So a lot of people are forced to be doctors. We've changed some girls from wanting to be doctors to wanting to be something else. And that's problematic at home. But like everybody who has some issues at home, I mean, my mother wanted me to work at the post office. So.
Oh, well.
God. you know, it's the same issues. It's the same things. They just look different. And so everyone looks different from the next person. And if we can just get past that, damn it.
The eternal struggle. I mean, it's really the challenge. And right now, I feel like that's actually really highlighted, because if you look at it, just what we're experiencing in this country right now is so much a function of assuming differences in people,
yes,
rather than assuming shared humanity.
Yes.
And moving past that is the work not only of our lifetimes, but unfortunately probably of the lifetimes of a couple more generations on from us. And,
you know, I recommend Isabel Wilkerson's new book, Cast.
I just got it. Literally, yeah. Came in my mail yesterday.
Yes, and so I'm way into it, and it's quite brilliant, and it's exactly on this subject about us just getting over that, just trying. But what's so great is that she really goes into the historical aspects of it, how it began, and it's just heartbreaking that we're still struggling with that even today.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. And as I said, I don't think we're going to move past it anytime soon. But I feel like this generation right now, I feel like they have the potential to make a seismic shift. Because for one thing, they have tools that we didn't have. They have the internet. They can connect to people all over the world. They can create movements of massive numbers of people very easily. And that, I think, is going to be a game changer, ultimately.
Absolutely right. I mean, yeah. You know, we had such hopes for television when it first came out that it would be used mostly for good, right? Bringing us all together and things like that. And so I think the internet started that way as well. And of course, we see what happened to the internet in regards to the bots and the pornography and the crazies out there. But I think you're right. I think this generation is kind of trying to corral the goodness of the internet and bring it to more people. Because you're going to always have the creeps, but hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, the creeps aren't going anywhere.
No.
But I think that this generation also has a vested interest in shifting things, because they see the threat to their own survival in terms of climate change.
Mm.
And that really sort of ripples out into other social justice issues, that once you've sort of figured out how to advocate on behalf of one issue, then to move into another thing where you see wrong becomes much easier. So that's my hope, and I'm clinging to it. So don't take that away from me. Thank you.
Hope is good. See, you heard already, because that's what I try to preach. Hope. We can't give up.
Nope. I will not give up.
Good.
And sort of going off on that, one of the other things that I've noticed that Girl Be Heard does is it sort of, to go back to that old slogan, think globally, act locally, is that it seems like your organization is very, very focused on not only taking programs outside of the state and outside of the community, but also really acting in very specific, targeted ways right in their own backyard. And I'm curious as to how they actually function in their locality and how they actually are active very close to home in ways that make a shift.
I think it's important. I mean, we just finished a show called Citizen Be Heard and about civic engagement. And, you know, I'll tell you how we start our shows. We start our shows with a fact sheet. We talk about the issues at hand, and we also talk about solutions, but we also talk about it in a global way so that if something's happening in your backyard, you need to know that it's also happening in the backyard of a girl in Burkina Faso, a girl in London, and it's different in those different places. And how is it different? And let's connect it and look at it and compare it to what's happening and find the similarities about what's happening in your place. So we try to have those conversations, and those conversations are really interesting and they're wonderful. So then how do they take that to a local level? You know, everyone finds a point in which they're interested in. So for instance, the young girl who took it, her work in Citizen Be Heard and eventually created her own Black Lives Matter in her neighborhood and a performance out of it and invited other groups and did this. And by the way, followed it up with a meeting with the local police department.
Good on her.
Right? But then you have other girls who did artwork around the show and created the stuff on the internet, on a program, did photos of everyone. And now her photos are appearing in a magazine in which the other two are writing about the issues that are important to them, like school shootings is one, and the other one is high debt of student loans. Mm-hmm. Our activism goes both ways. It goes where a girl can be so fired up that she actually gets up off her desk and moves to do something physically. And then there are girls who do this, and this is what we're doing a lot of now, is creating artwork so that we can then share it to our localities. And for instance, we're doing a lot of performances at libraries and schools, pre-recorded performances, where then we go into the school and have talkbacks, like we just did one at a school in Yonkers where it was around consent and sexual violence. And we had girls there talking to the other girls from the school. And it was so great for all of them because they finally got someone to hear their issues around what was happening in their school. So activism takes different ways of happening, I guess. With mm-hmm. It could be the physical, get up, go to a march and say, change the world. It could be a girl writing something for a magazine. It could be, I'm just trying to think of the examples that we have, a girl going to college and changing her major to now something that she feels she can actually change the world in, political science. So they all find different ways. And most find their way through, well, not most, but art, medicine, music, theater, an accountant, one. But they take with them the knowledge of social justice, and that whatever they decide to do in life, they have that thing inside them that says, I know what these issues are. I know how to change them. I'm going to change them in whatever I decide to do. So that's what we create. When we say change makers, leaders, and activists, it's in whatever you choose to be.
I love that. And my last question, my next to last question, because we're almost out of time, is in the program, does everyone sort of try every different art form? So does everyone try storytelling and spoken word or ensemble-based theater and writing, or do they get to pick?
In our program, we're basically doing writing and spoken word and group pieces, which incorporate music, movement, and short plays or monologues. Since Hamilton, I have to say, because Lin-Manuel and his family are supporters of ours, they've been wonderful to Girl Be Heard. The girls and participants have been so into spoken word. So mm-hmm. we've done a lot of that in the last 3 years since Hamilton. And of course, now since COVID, we can't really do a lot of ensemble work. though we have been able to do some of that on Zoom. So, but once this is over, we're going back to creating group pieces and plays and monologues around these issues. And again, remember, it all depends on the girl that comes in. Girls come in and they may not want to do that. They may want to do it in a different way. Some might want to sing a song, or some might want to do some dance. So we try to take whatever we get that comes in and cobble it together into some kind of a performance. And it can be different.
So. I love that. This is so amazing. I'm really looking forward to pandemic time being over so that I have an opportunity to experience Girl Be Heard in person at some point. So before we go, I like to leave the listeners with three actions that they can take to advance the cause of whatever we've been talking about, or just three actions that would help make the world a little bit better. So what three things would you suggest?
Well, I would definitely, first off, tell everyone to get some young person to register to vote, old people too. But the youth, we got to get them out. And so find a young person, find 5 or 10 young people, if you can do that, and register them to vote, encourage them to vote, bring them with you when you vote. We all remember, I know I do, my first time voting was at the fire station with my mom. And even if they're not old enough, you should bring them with you to vote, because it's important that they see, first of all, how easy it is, and two, that an adult is doing it. So I would say bring a kid to vote with you, and also encourage kids 18 and over, older, to vote.
Yes, amen. Amen. What else?
Well, you can always donate to Girl Be Heard. You know, we are working tirelessly with young women and girls in the state of New York to create change makers and leaders. Girls, we need more women in Congress. We need more women in the House and the Senate, and locally, we need more female representation. And I think Girl Be Heard is helping to create those change makers and leaders. And so you can donate to Girl Be Heard at girlbeheard.org/donate.
And I will put that in the episode notes so that people can see that for themselves. And last thing.
So we have some work that's coming up. We're doing an awful lot of pre-recorded work, and we're doing the pre-record with live talk back questions from our girls. We're doing them at libraries and schools and other venues. We're working on, we have a pre-recorded show from our main stage show called Citizen Be Heard. And we're currently working on a group piece around Kaya Kirkland, who is the 6-year-old girl who was arrested in Texas for having a tantrum. Our girls saw that video and were moved to create this amazing music video, spoken word piece that we're going to premiere in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. And we're also doing a performance open house with the Downtown Brooklyn Association sometime at the end of August, where you'll get to come to our website and see organizations all over Brooklyn and New York who are offering pre-recorded and live performances while this COVID is going on.
That's wonderful. So we also get to enjoy some wonderful art and theater. So perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. This
has been amazing. I'm so happy that we got to talk. I'm thrilled that you are doing this work and that you were able to take some time to share it with us. So thank you so much, Kim.
Thank you, Amkari. I'm so thrilled to be here. And it's so good to see you.
I know. Yes. It's been a while. You take care.
Thanks again.
Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to check out the Girl Be Heard website and, if you can, donate to support their work. COVID has taken a lot from us in these past several months. Among the things I believe we've gained is a new appreciation for community and a new or deeper appreciation for the power of story. I will be back with another episode of Stepping Into Truth very soon. And I'm going to sign off by reminding you that change starts with story, so keep sharing yours.